From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This week, an 84-year-old man with Alzheimer's disease reported missing with his wife's car died in a single-vehicle crash on Interstate 5 near Olympia. It was not the first time the man had wandered, but it was the first time he took a car. Over that last 5 years, at least 10 people with Alzheimer's disease or dementia have died in Washington State as a direct result of wandering or getting lost. 7 people have died in just the last 16 months. It's a problem that police departments and other agencies are just starting to grapple with. KUOW, KCTS, and Investigate West are doing a special reporting project on wandering that kicks off today. In fact, you can read about it on Investigate West right now on their website. Joining us with more is Jason Alcorn, who's Associate Director of Investigate West. He's the lead reporter on this project. Jason, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me here.
You know, we see rising numbers of people with dementia. Is that leading to more cases of wandering?
It's certainly, you know, what we were told when we talked with folks who are doing search and rescue at the state level here in Washington is that they are seeing more cases of wandering or walkaways, as they call them. The numbers are really hard to really put your finger on because there's not a central place, you know, at the state level where all of these are getting counted. But, you know, everyone who we talk to who works in this area, who works with families who have, you know, family members with Alzheimer's are seeing the numbers going up.
You know, what stood out for me in your reporting is not only how often this is happening, but how often it is lethal.
It is. And, you know, I think that goes to something really specific about what wandering is. And it's not just getting lost, but people with dementia, you know, if they do leave their home, if they do get disoriented and don't know where they are, in many cases, they don't realize they're lost. They've lost that cognitive ability. They don't realize they don't know how to reach out to search and rescue teams for help. If someone calls their name, they may not realize that, you know, that person is being helpful, and they may actually hide from them.
They may actually try to evade someone trying to make contact with them.
That's absolutely right.
A really difficult population to deal with. And according to what you reported, 60% of Alzheimer's patients who wander, if they're not found within the first day, they're going to die. 60%, 80% if not found within 72 hours. Are going to die. Really horrible numbers on this when it happens, and it's happening more often.
It is. And, you know, those numbers, I was at a training, the first in the Northwest by an International Association of Chiefs of Police for law enforcement. And that was, you know, the message that they hit over the head again and again, that time is of the essence.
And part of what you're reporting here is that there's not a lot of awareness about this among many police departments. Is that right?
I think that's certainly true. You know, you look back 5 years ago, you know, and Washington State obviously has a great search and rescue program and has for a very, very long time. But, you know, nationwide and even here, you know, over the last 5 years, there's been a real increase in this, but it's still not coming down to the local police department level because there's no, you know, in most cases, there's no training specific to Alzheimer's or dementia, even though, you know, all it might take is, you know, a 15-minute, you know, briefing training to give, you know, law enforcement patrol officers, you know, a basic understanding.
What are some of the things you can learn in 15 minutes that will help you find someone who's missing with Alzheimer's disease?
Sure. You know, I think that, you know, some of the basic characteristics, like I said, of, you know, how an Alzheimer's person would act if they are wandering are important. You know, that they're often going to follow straight lines. If they hit a body of water, they'll walk along that. They're often found in wooded areas and brushy areas because they walk until they get stuck and then they're found there. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing would be, you know, that there are statistics about how close to the location that they were last seen that the person is actually able to be found. And, you know, it's something like, you know, half are found within 1.2 miles and 75% are found within a 2 mile radius.
Finally found him in about 2 miles away. He was pulling someone's weeds. Actually, our youngest found him. He said, "Hey, Chris," the kids no longer could call him dad by then because that confused him. So they would call him Chris and said, "Hey, Chris, let's go home." He said, okay. He got in the car and got home, and Austin said the first thing he said when they pulled up to the house is, "This isn't my home."
That was a family member who's in this documentary talking about what happened with their family member.
That's right.
You know, there's an Amber Alert system here. It seems pretty good. If a child goes missing, you see it on electronic billboards over the highway. You hear it on broadcast media, and it seems to be getting good results. Is anyone trying to use this approach when it comes to someone missing with Alzheimer's, where there's such a high fatality rate when they're missing for very long?
Yes. And I'll say first, like in the case of a child that's missing, if someone has dementia or Alzheimer's and they are missing, there's no waiting period to report that to law enforcement. So if you have a family member and you find someone's going missing, it can be within the first hour that you know that they're gone. You know, call 911, let police departments know. There's no waiting period at all. And that's really important to tell people. You know, Washington State has what's called an endangered missing persons advisory, which is an analog in some ways to the Amber Alert, but you know, not quite. And we were told it hasn't been used a whole lot. There hasn't been a whole lot of training around it yet. One model is Silver Alert, which is, you know, it uses the same kind of color idea. And that's been passed in over 20 states, really in the last 5 or 6 years. That's been proposed here in Washington, but it hasn't moved out of the legislature.
How does Washington compare to other states when it comes to dealing with this growing problem?
You know, ironically, I think it seems to lag. You know, and I said, you know, search and rescue here in Washington State is very good. And there are folks who know, you know, about dementia, know Alzheimer's, and bring in, you know, the experts to talk about it. But Washington is one of 6 states that hasn't even started work on an Alzheimer's state plan. There's a national plan, but we're one of 6 states that hasn't started work on a state plan. So, you know, that's one big area that, you know, it's a much broader thing than just law enforcement and just wandering. But I think it's indicative of the overall situation.
Jason Alcorn, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You can read his work on the Investigate West website right now. Tomorrow at 10 in the morning, there's going to be a free screening of the KCTS Investigate West TV documentary, Wandering. It's going to be over at the Majestic Bay Theater in Ballard, followed by a panel discussion. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m., and it's free. And the documentary premieres Monday night at 9 p.m. It's online now at kcts.org, where they've also got a really great web build-out with more facets of it. And our piece of this Monday, KUOW's Ruby DeLuna, will have a report about how one local police department in Anacortes is tackling this issue. You can hear that Monday morning on KUOW.